Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. Amen. One of my favorite Bible books is 2 Timothy. I love to read and memorize this one because Timothy, Paul is writing to him who is weary, he's tired, he's sort of exhausted and in his faith and very discouraged. And the whole letter from Paul here is to encourage him and to renew his faith. Let me read just a little bit of this word to you. Paul says to him, "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, I long night and day to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. Hence, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." Now, I love this because Paul comes to Timothy to renew his discouraged faith. And I love this because I need a word like that, too. A word of renewal and refreshment in Christ. Do you feel that at times in your life, that you are also grow weary? Sometimes you get discouraged in your faith. Sometimes your light begins to dim and fade. Sometimes you begin to get deflated in your faith. And you need times, just like I do, of renewal. And today I'd like to talk with you about that. That when you get these times when your faith is sort of growing dim and dull and hazy and you're confused and you sort of lose your way, how do you renew it? How do you rekindle that gift of God that's within you? How do you get inflated and inspired again in your faith? Let's talk about that, because the bulletin cover, if anybody can read it, let's see here. It says, "It is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens up my darkness." That's what we're talking about today. So, what do we do when we're getting deflated in our faith and need inspiration? Well, I think first thing is we need to acknowledge that we can at times in our Christian life get deflated. We can at times in our Christian life grow weary, tired, exhausted, and the Christian life can become a little dull and hazy to us. And sometimes I think we want the Christian life to just look like this or this, but a lot of times it goes like this. We have ups and down times. And we see here in the Bible that we have that same example, right? Here's Timothy. He's discouraged. He's weary. He's exhausted. He's needing refreshment. So Paul writes a whole letter to him to encourage him. You see Jesus doing the same with his flock. Peter doing the same with his flock. You see also a person in the Bible here who was so deflated he actually departed the faith. We don't hear about this guy a whole lot, but let's look a little bit at his life. Colossians 4:14 to begin. Colossians 4:14 says, Paul writes, "Luke, the beloved physician and Demas greets you." Here's a guy we hardly hear anything about, a guy named Demas. Then we hear about him also in Philemon. Paul again mentions this man, and he says, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow worker." So here's a guy who was traveling with Paul, very inspired, right along with Paul. Paul's mentioning him in his prayers. But then what do we find out in the end of the second letter of Timothy? Paul writes to him and says, "Do your best, Timothy, to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Wow. Here's a guy who was inflated, who was inspired, and who, for whatever reason, fell away and became in love with the world and departed and left Paul all alone with a word of great condemnation against him. You know that this can even happen to us. We're not immune from that. We need to be on guard against it. Think of one of the greats of our days and our age. Who would you think is the great evangelist of all time? Billy Graham. Billy Graham, right. That's the name that comes to me. Ask me whether I aspire to be like Billy Graham.
Do you aspire?
Thank you, Millette. Do I aspire? I'd have to answer that question, is that the young or the old Billy Graham? And I say this with much sadness, because I watched a clip of him preaching in his early days in his 20s, and he was so clear and sharp. He said, "There is no other way than by the cross. You must come to the cross, or you cannot be forgiven. For it is by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. It is the cross, the only way." He said that. And then I watched this tape from him later in his life, from May 31st, 1997, the Robert Schuller TV broadcast, where Robert Schuller interviews Billy Graham. Billy Graham speaks of people in various religions, and he says, "They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved, and they're going to be with us in heaven." Without any word of the Bible, without any cross, without faith in Jesus Christ, that they're going to be saved. So I pray for his forgiveness and his repentance, Billy Graham. Do I aspire to be like him? I want to be like the early Billy Graham, not the late one. But it's better to start poorly and end well than to start well and end poorly. So it can happen to any one of us that we can fall away and become deflated and drift away from the faith. And so this is what God comes to do today, to renew us. I know in my life I've had many times where I've been very deflated, where I've been depressed and discouraged in my faith. When I was in Wisconsin on my vicarage, I was doing well at church. Everything was going great outside, but I just felt so discouraged. I felt like I just wanted to depart from the whole process to being a pastor, even though I, by will, kept on because I knew I wanted it in another way. But I felt so needing renewal in my life. And so what did the Lord do to me and say to me in those days when I needed renewal? Well, the first thing he really said to me, along with other things in those days, he gave me a warning. And he gave a very strong call, a strong word to me. Now you'd think if you're exhausted in your faith and you're kind of drifting a bit, that the Lord would come with you a sweet, gentle word, sort of like the sergeant in the basic training. Does he come up alongside you and say, "Buck up, little camper, come on, climb that hill and I'll give you some cookies"? You know, the Lord doesn't. He's like a Marine sergeant. He says, "Get up, man, get up. The enemy is right on the other side wanting to have you. Get up, man, climb that hill. Semper Fi. He who endures to the end will be saved," right? And the Lord gave me a strong word like that, saying, "You must endure, Greg. You cannot give up." Think of these words from Hebrews 10 and others. "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised." Think of this word from 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." And Jesus says, Matthew 24, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because wickedness is increased, most men's love will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved." So when I was feeling really discouraged in Wisconsin, the Lord didn't bring me just a sweet, comforting, quiet little buck up little camper. He said, "You must endure." And that was a great word, because it charged me up, sort of like if your heart stops physically, the doctors come up to you with the electrodes and go, boom, right, to shock your heart and to start. Or if it's out of rhythm, boom, to get it in the rhythm again properly. Well, sometimes God does this for you. So if you're feeling sort of faint in your faith and the Lord comes to you with a strong word through me today or through someone else and says, "You must not give up," then take that from the Lord as a great word to start you again in your faith. Now, that word wakes you up and sees the seriousness of your situation. But it doesn't build you up in Christ, does it? It sort of just gets you to to realize how bad you're, how bad off you are, but it does really nothing really to lift you up and renew your faith. It just gets you ready for it. And so what should we do to renew our faith when it goes dim? Should we go down to Books A Million? Stroll through the self-help books? There's a million books out there. Self-help. But if any of them worked, you'd think there wouldn't be a million books. They don't work. Let's take a look at what Jesus says about renewing your faith right now. He's going to tell us. Luke chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, to his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken from her. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. One thing. That one thing is the Lord's word. Friends, this is what we need in order to be built up in our faith. Not a million self-help books. We need one book, namely the word of God. If you are feeling depleted, exhausted, overcome, drifting, hazy, like you've lost your way, like your faith is weak, you need one thing. One thing is needful, Jesus says. Sit at my feet and listen to my word. This is what renews our lives, plain and simple. Now, why? Why is it the one thing needful? Well, think about this. The word of God gives life. It says in Genesis 1 that the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke and life burst into existence. Light and life. It says in Hebrews chapter 1 of Jesus, he is the glory of God and bears the very stamp of God's nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. Do you realize this? This is the one thing you need. It upholds life. Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and life. If you want life, you've got to have the word in you, people. You've got to put it in you. You've got to have the Holy Spirit do it. And God's word never returns to him void. It says in Isaiah chapter 55, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and return not thither, but water the earth, giving seed to the sower and bread for to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I went to my cousin's wedding the other weekend. We drove, we thought it'd be fun, Beth thought, to drive across the state a little south by Okeechobee. I thought we were going to drive across flatlands, barren, dry, brown wasteland, all the way to Naples. You know what I saw driving across the state? Flatlands, to be sure, but green, lush, verdant earth. It was as green as Ireland. And why? Because it received the early and the late rain every day coming down upon it, making the whole landscape turn green, 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 green. And so is your life if the rain of God, of the word, is constantly filling and refreshing your soul. This is the one thing needful, Jesus says, that you may be green and lush and beautiful. Also, faith comes from what is heard. You can't have faith without the word of God, the Bible says. And listen, where else in the world are you going to hear something like this? Ephesians. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he lavished upon us, bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. I need a word like that. When I'm going through my life and wondering about my relationship with God, I need to hear that I was dead in my trespasses apart from Christ, and that in him I have the grace of God raining down and making me lush green and forgiven every day. The word of God gives us clarity. wisdom and sharpness. It says, Psalm 119, thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The word is our food and our drink. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what's the gospel after all? What is the gospel? It is a word, but it's a word by which, hearing it, God says you are saved and receive eternal life. This is not just a dead word like we talked about in the children's message. It's a pop-up book. It jumps out and gives you life. We got to read this word to be in it. The problem is, then, is what? We don't really read the word very much, do we? At least as much as we should. Do you? Are you in the word every day? Are you in the word all day long? For various reasons, we do fall from this. And here's a couple of reasons. We do family devotions in my family, which is pretty cool. We get together and talk about the word every day. We went on vacation to Cape Cod. What happened to family devotions? Out the window. I was still reading the Bible a bit in the morning on my own. We'd talk about it a little bit at night in prayers, but guess what? We came back from vacation kind of hazy in our faith, kind of bemuddled and confused and befuddled and all these other words I don't know what I'm talking about. We were like, you know, we had, as a family this week, we actually, on Tuesday, we went to the Lord together as a family, said we repent, and we came back to the word. And this week we've been getting sharper and clearer, and it's like we're putting on glasses and we see things clearly. Another thing that happens to us is the devil sure is a great entertainer, isn't he? He gives us celebrity gossip to look at. He gives us these peppy tunes to listen to, full of malicious words, really, if you think about it, about fulfilling all your passions. Naomi was telling me this week, well, I want to listen to Christian music, but it's so boring. You know, all this other music is so ee. And I agree in a lot of ways. It's more fun to listen to. But you got to watch what goes into those little ears of yours. Devil's a great entertainer. And another thing is, man, we just forget how much we really need to just sit at the Lord's feet and listen. We forget how the Word of God inspires us. Let me give you an example of this, if I could. Here's a balloon, okay? This is you. Here is you going to church once a week, hearing the Word of God, okay? If you don't hear the Word of God on any other day of the week with you studying it yourself, this is what happens to you, okay? The balloon deflates, and that's you sounding like you're mourning and crying, and you're upset, and you come back next week. Pastor gives you the sermon, you feel a little inflated, and you deflate again. What does God want for you? His word once a week? God wants for you this. Hear the sermon on Sunday and other things. Then through the week, you study. Six more breaths. And then next week's sermon. Look at that. You're an inflated balloon. What does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 3? All scripture is inspired by God. God breathed. It's breathing into you life and renewal. What are you as a Christian if you never come to church or skip it because you're tired and never are in God's word? What happens? That's what happens to you. And pretty soon you fall away like Demas. We got to be in the Word, people. We got to be studying it every day. No, I can't believe this. Sometimes I go up to people who never study the Word, Christians, and I go and I say, just as a pastor or a friend, how's your faith going? And they say, oh, it's going great. It's just fine. I'm just like, what? How can this be? You're never getting inspired. You're never getting the Word. How's your faith? Well, and I think in their case, they've gotten so delirious from not being in the Word long enough, they don't even know they need the Word anymore. We were watching this show. You ever seen this show, I Shouldn't Be Alive? You ever seen that? I just recently saw it because I don't have TV, but we watched it at Cape Cod. And we watched this one recently where they were on a sailing ship, and the boat went down, and they were on a raft in the middle of the ocean, and two of the four people on the raft decided to drink salt water because they were thirsty. And they drank it. They got a little satisfaction for a few minutes or an hour or so, and then they began to get delirious. And then what was the end of drinking polluted water instead of pure water? The guy was so delirious, he jumped off the raft, which, by the way, was surrounded by sharks because there was blood in the water, hundreds of them. And the guy swam out and said, "I'm going away I'll be right back. I'm going to the 7-Eleven. They're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. "I'm going to the 7-Eleven. And he's swimming away, and they said, all of a sudden we heard, "Ah!" And then a splash, and then silence. And they never heard from him again. When I talk with people, let's say their faith is doing fine, even though they haven't been in the Word at all, I'm just like thinking about this scenario. They are so delirious, they don't even know where they get their life. Guys, the Bible, God's Word, is a living Word. It is inspired Word. God created this whole earth that we live on and all the heavens and the stars by His Word of power. He daily upholds it by His Word of power. If you want renewal and refreshment in your life, you need the Word of God, which renews and brings you back to life again. This is what God gives us, that we might be filled. Like as it says in Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. What if God just continued to breathe into you and breathe into you, breathe into you? Some of you are afraid this might burst. It might have. That's a balloon. But your faith will not burst. It'll just get brighter and stronger all the time. But then, we not only need to hear the Word of God, we also need to hear the Word of God. You can come to church and fall asleep in a sermon. Anybody asleep? Well, good. One person's asleep. Thank you, Eddie. Okay. I heard a story of a man who's an older man, very aged gentleman, who said he had the best hearing aid available. He told this, went up to his friend and said, "I've got the best kind of hearing aid there is." And his friend said, "Oh, really? What kind is it?" He says, "About 230. What time is it? Get it? The point is, you want me to repeat that one? Okay. I'll explain it later, but the point is, he thought he heard, but he couldn't really hear. And I want to ask, when you are hearing the Word of God, when you're reading it, do you really read it? Are you really hearing the Lord speak to you? Here are some thoughts as the ways if the Lord's Word itself has grown weary and dull for you. One of them, ask God to open your mind to understand it. This is what happened in Luke 24. God opened the disciples' minds that they might understand the words which they read. Another thing is read a different translation every once in a while. Sometimes I've read my translation so many times, the words are, I just brush over them because I know them so well. They're so familiar. Read a different one. Maybe have a new, fresh hearing to that. Something we started this week. Feed your soul before you feed your body in the morning. Don't let yourself take a bite of food until you've first taken a bite of the Word for your soul. Discuss it with others, as we do in our family in the mornings. And ask God what He's telling you through this passage, because it is a living Word. Stop and let God, after you've read it, let Him speak to you. Because guess what? Here's a great Word. The Creator Himself, God who made you, also desires to speak to you, a living Word. He wants to talk with you every day and for you to talk back with Him. This is what life is, my friends, a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through His cross, by which He died to pay the penalty for our sins, through which we're reconciled to God, and then having been forgiven through Jesus, then we get to talk with Him. He fills us with His Word. We talk with Him. He fills us with His Word, and we get inflated as people, inspired, breathed into by God, and our faith is renewed. So, I want to challenge you as a congregation. For the next 40 days, I challenge you together with me to read one chapter of the Gospel of John and then all the way through to the Gospel of Luke over the next 40 days. If we do that every day all the way through till next 40 days into September, we will have completed the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Luke together. And you don't even have to know how this works, okay? I get into my car, I don't have to know how the engine works, but it gets me where I'm going to go. You don't have to know how God is going to, by his word, inspire and inflate you. But you just have to know it works. So are you going to do that? All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to start out today, one chapter per day, start reading in the Gospel of John. All right, and we'll go through that, and we'll go through the Gospel of Luke. All right, my final word then to you today is this. The Word of God himself became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. The Word of God himself preached to us the words of life. The Word of God himself died on the cross for our sins. The Word of God himself arose from the dead to give you life. Therefore, we conclude with this great word from Psalm 119, 107. I am sorely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to thy word. According to thy word. Amen.